Hello, folks. This is your Hollywood reporter, Dick Simmons, again, bringing you today one of Hollywood's most popular celebrities. He's a tall, lanky fellow whom you've doubtlessly seen many times on the screen, such favorite pictures as The Philadelphia Story, It's a Wonderful Life, The Stratton Story, Harvey, and The Greatest Show on Earth. And that adds up, of course, to Jimmy Stewart. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you. Mighty glad you asked me along. It's the first chance I've had to relax in weeks.
Yes, I understand you've really been busy of late, Jimmy. Ah, but you must get time to relax around the house.
Well, you mean you haven't heard about my twin daughters, Judy and Kelly? Now, there's not much relaxing done around home these days.
Well, Jimmy, we're glad to give you a chance to sit back and take it easy. That is, as long as you keep talking about yourself.
Now, wait a minute. I wasn't exactly aiming to talk about myself.
No?
No, I'd sort of like to tell you about another fella. A fella, I don't know, I'd say he's just about the most amazing man I've ever met.
Who's that, Jimmy?
A fella named David Marshall Williams. Probably one of the most famous gun inventors since Browning. I imagine you've heard about the Army carbine, that lightweight rifle our boys found so handy during World War II.
Certainly. It's a mighty friendly weapon to the GIs in Korea right now, too.
It sure is. And they can thank Marsh Williams for it. You see, among his inventions, he holds 68 U.S. patents, is one that became a basic principle of the carbine. But there's something more remarkable about Marsh than his success as an inventor. Something goes much deeper. It has to do, well, I guess it has to do with what he has accomplished within himself.
Well, just what do you mean, Jimmy?
Well, today, Marsh is a respected citizen. It's very hard to believe that once he was convicted of killing a man.
That is startling. When did it happen?
Well, it was back in Prohibition days in North Carolina, where Marsh was born and raised. There was a law against it, but Marsh and a lot of other folks didn't seem to think that it was wrong to operate a still. The woods were full of them, making moonshine whiskey. Well, one day there was a raid on Marsh's still, and a federal agent was killed. Nobody knew who shot at what, but it was Marsh who was held responsible.
And convicted?
Yes, of second-degree murder. He was just 20 years old at the time. He was sentenced to 30 years. 30 of the best years of a man's life.
I'm beginning to see what has impressed you so much. Almost any man would have been licked right there, but apparently he wasn't.
No, he sure wasn't. Even in leg irons on a chain gang, Marsh's character stood out. So much so that a warden allowed him to design a revolutionary new gun, build it, and even test fire it while in prison. Now, you know, that warden must have had a tremendous faith in him.
He certainly must have. But tell me, did Williams stay in prison the full 30 years?
No, he was granted a full pardon by the governor of North Carolina after some 8 years. The interest in his new gun unquestionably helped to gain his freedom, but he owes a lot to his wife, Maggie, too. She stuck loyally by him throughout all his trouble, never stopped fighting for a review of his case. Theirs, incidentally, is quite a love story.
Sounds like it. Jimmy, maybe I should put in a word here to explain how it happens that you know so much about this man. The MGM studios in Hollywood, it seems, were as impressed as you have been. And so now I've just completed the motion picture Carbine Williams, based on his own story. And of course, you were picked to portray him on the screen. You know, Jim, that must have been a strange experience for Mr. Williams, watching you reenact events out of his life.
Well, now I kind of figured after you heard something about Marsh, you'd want to meet him and find out how he felt about it, so I took the liberty of asking him along. Marsh, come on in here. Folks, this is Marsh Williams.
Hello, Jimmy.
Mr. Williams, we've been hearing part of your incredible story from Mr. Stewart. Must have seemed quite surprising to you to be in Hollywood watching it unfold again right in front of your eyes.
Well, I'll tell you. After a man does time, it gets so there's very little that surprises him. Of course, I'll have to admit it was satisfying.
In what way, Mr. Williams?
I guess that goes back to why I wanted the picture made in the first place. You see, I have a son, David. He's 13. I've made my mistakes in the past, but I don't want them to ever crop up in the boy's future. I figure if everybody knows my whole story, there's nothing going to hurt the boy.
Mr. Williams, it strikes me that not every man, particularly a man with a prison record in his past, would reveal a story as you have done, even with such a fine purpose. You're to be congratulated.
Well, like I said, I made my mistakes. But as long as a man's willing to try to make something of himself, he'll find there are people willing to help him. People who will have faith in him and be willing to let the present speak for itself. That's a great thing about this country we live in.
Well, Marsh, that's a simple philosophy, but it's a pretty wonderful one. It should give heart to a lot of folks. The ones down on their luck, feeling the world's got them buffaloed.
I'm sure it will. And Jimmy Stewart, thanks for bringing Marsh Williams along with you. And thanks to both of you for a most interesting chat. You know, I've heard, Jimmy, that you give another one of your top performances in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Carbine Williams, as do Gene Hagen and Wendell Corey. We'll be looking forward to seeing it as a picture that promises something, well, really out of the ordinary. Thanks a lot, fellas, and come back again, will you?